Okay. All right. Good to be here. Tell you what, turn to Job with me, if you will, please. The book of Job, Job chapter number 32. I'm going to take a look at an interesting character here in the book of Job. He's one that's not mentioned a whole lot, probably not even taught on a whole lot, but he's one of the most important characters in the book of Job, obviously, besides God and Job himself. We'll see why in just a minute. His name's Elihu. Look at verse number 1 with me, if you will. It says, "So these three men ceased to answer." These are Job's friends. "So these three men ceased to answer Job, because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer, and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu had waited until Job had spoken, because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barakel the Buzite, answered and said, 'I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you mine opinion. I said, Days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Therefore I said, Hearken to me, I also will show mine opinion.'" I'd like to give it a word of prayer, and then we'll jump into the lesson. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for Sunday school, but God, I ask that you in a special way would fill me. You've helped me in the preparation. You've helped me in the teaching, and I'm asking you now that you please give me that special unction from on high that I can give to these people the truth of the message here. I can't do it on my own. Except that you fill me, I ask that you please be with me now. In your name we pray, amen. Elihu is a friend of Job, I guess you could say, but what he's most not known for is being the author of the book of Job. Elihu being the author gives him certain ways of speaking in the book of Job, and I cannot find my phone because it's in my pocket. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Tell you what. Elihu is the author, but you don't really see this until chapter 32. Elihu's not mentioned till chapter 32. Matter of fact, most of the book of Job is just Job and his three friends. These three friends go back and forth against Job, and they say, "Hey, Job, you ought to know that you're doing wrong because all this bad stuff is happening to you." And Job says, "No, I haven't done anything wrong." And they say, "Yes, you have." And he said, "No, I haven't." And he said, "Yes, I have." And before you know it, from chapter 3 to chapter 31, for roughly 27 or so, 28 chapters, Job is going back and forth with his three friends. He's lost everything. Something that's incredible about the book of Job is Satan causes Job's problems, sure. But Satan's not seen again in the book of Job after chapter number 3. And oftentimes we blame everything on Satan. But all Satan did was get the ball rolling. You know, he comes with his persecutions and takes all of his flocks and takes all of his herds and then kills all of his children and then takes his health and then causes his wife to, in her most grievous state, say, curse God and die. And then Satan's gone. And you see nothing of Satan after chapter number 3. You see nothing of him. And then from there on, it's just Job wheeling and trying to deal as best he can with that situation. And of course, his three friends aren't really helping either. Well, Elihu, I think, is not clear where he showed up at, but I believe that he's sitting right there listening to him speak the whole time. The Bible says that Job and his three friends, just in grieving, sat in a pit of ashes for days. Not talking at all. Just for days, so just in grieving, not talk. Well, then when they start talking, I think Elihu starts recording these things. And starts making a book, if you will, called the Book of Job. But in chapter 32, Elihu just gets about full up. We see, the first thing we see here in chapter 32 is Elihu's desire. We've seen the desire of Job, and we've seen the desire of his friends. Look at verse 2, if you will. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. Bless his heart, Job has been for 27, 28 chapters just trying to stay above the fray of everything. The accusations of his friends, his own grief, everything. And bless his heart, all he's been able to do at this point is just justify himself. But he's never once justified God in those 27 chapters. Instead, what he's done is say, I've kept from doing this, or I did this, or I didn't go with these people, and I didn't talk about these things. But God is the one that is the only reason why Elihu and why Job and why his three friends haven't suffered the same judgment. But Job doesn't see this, and Job in his, and we don't teach on it a whole lot, but I believe in his self-righteousness, gets to the point where he has, in essence, pulled God down to man's level so he can push himself up to God's level. And that is the common problem we deal with in this day and age, is men wanting to deify themselves and humanize God. You see all of these teachings of, you know, oh, Jesus was just a man. He wasn't just a man. He had the form of man. He had the form of sin. But he was God in the flesh. 100% God. I mean, he didn't suffer 1 ounce of lacking God's abilities just because he was in a human body. I mean, he several times, at least twice that we can see, he walked through walls in a body. And sure, it was his resurrected and glorified body, but he walked through walls. I can't do that. I don't want to try either. But I mean, he did that in his form of Jesus. And even in the middle of his trials, Job is looking at God and saying, "Hey, you know what? I'm pretty good. I'm a little better than most people that would handle this trouble," which is not a problem. I mean, being with God, it's good enough to get the strength out of the Bible so you can handle your problems better than those out in the world. But he doesn't stop there. Instead, he continues and defends himself, doesn't defend God, and Elihu is just sitting and listening. Finally he says, I've just got enough. Somebody ought to glorify God here. Somebody ought to come to God's defense. And it sure ain't going to be Job. And look at verse number 3. He says, also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. And this young man looks at these three friends and looks at Job and says, you know, I've had it up to here. With all of your slander and all of your accusations against Job, and Job, I've had it up to here with all of your self-righteousness and puffing yourself up. I just want to stand in defense of God. Would it be that we'd have some young people, even some young Christians or even some aged Christians that would be able to stand up and say, I've had it up to here, and enough is enough, and I'm going to stand up for God. It's not up to you to understand all of the reasons why. We looked at that last Sunday night. But it is up to you to stand up and be counted. Don't wait till you're older to be counted. There's a desire that Elihu has here. He's mentioned as speaking from chapter 32 to the end of chapter 37, and in chapter 38, God takes over. And in the middle of his crisis, Job is beaten down. And for six chapters, Elihu comes with the word of God and speaks directly to Job because he's had it up to here with his friends, and so is God to that extent. But he comes to Job, and for six chapters, he just glorifies God. And over 80 times in six chapters, God's name is mentioned. That's well over 13 times per chapter. He just says, hey, I want to praise God. I want to glorify God. I want to do my best for God, and I want to be counted on God's side, if you will. This is not the only thing we see about Elihu. We also see his youth. Keep looking. It says, verse number 5, it said, when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barachel the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you mine opinion. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. He's looked at the older people, and you ought to. You ought to look to those that come before you, and you ought to look to those that have more wisdom than you. And they, honestly, they should have had more wisdom than Elihu. They've been here longer. They've experienced more. And so he, in his proper wisdom as a young man, looks to the old men and says, look, I don't know everything, so hopefully these guys have an answer. But after 27, 28 chapters of listening to them just barf all over God, he said, I've had enough. And these old people don't know anything of wisdom and understanding. And I was waiting. I honestly believe Elihu was waiting, saying, God, please help them to not say that. Oh, they said it again. God, I really need to know that there's some old men that still have what God's looking for in wisdom and understanding, but they keep opening their mouth and they keep saying the wrong things and pulling Job down or pulling you down, and I just can't anymore. And finally he gets to the point where he says, man, I wanted the old people to speak. I'm not calling you old, but I'm just gesturing with my hand. You're in front of me. I mean, yeah. He said, I wanted these old people to speak. And I wanted these people to give me some wisdom about why this is happening. But they don't know anything. And look at this next verse. It says, but there is a spirit, small s, in a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. The only reason you have the ability to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, the only ability that you have to have any kind of useful understanding, knowledge, or wisdom is through the Holy Spirit. And your spirit inside is just a man's spirit. But God put in you the Holy Spirit to teach you all things and to bring all things to your remembrance and to give you some explanation. And finally, Elihu being filled with the Holy Spirit, men, holy men of God being filled with the Spirit, pen this book that's in your lap right now, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if he was sitting right there next to Job and recording all this, or if the Holy Spirit was filling him and writing this down later on. I don't know. I know he's a contemporary of Job, and I think that he's there, but it may be that he's just had enough writing of 27 chapters against God, where being filled with the Holy Spirit, he stops telling what Job wants to talk about, stops talking about what all the older men want to talk about, and just says, I'm going to glorify God for 6 chapters. And then God steps in and talks to Job and says, I'm not going to answer you according to your questions. I don't have to. I'm God. And then from chapter 38 to 42, God's speaking. But I think regardless of where he was, if he was writing this separate or if he was right there writing it down at the same time, there came a time where Elihu, despite his youth, despite his willingness to let the older people talk, he just said, you know what, I'm going to glorify God. And I'm not going to worry about what other people think I should do because I'm so young. And I'm not going to worry about, you know, maybe I ought to be quiet because I haven't had the same life experiences. No, you guys, you are not women. Praise the Lord. You're not a woman. But you can have wisdom when counseling with other women. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. And young men, you can have counsel with older men. Why? Because there's a Holy Spirit in you. And he's older than both of you. And that wisdom that God gives you, Elihu said, I'm waiting for somebody to show it, and nobody's showing it at all. There's no such thing as a junior Holy Ghost. The same one is in you as is in you as is in you. And on down the line. And if you really believe that, then you're not going to let your age be, the Bible says, let no man despise thy youth. And I don't care if you're 6 years old or if you're 66 years old. There is something that is about youth that the Holy Spirit just absolutely defies. You don't have to waste your life, the young days of your life, going out and doing everything that the world does. You don't have to go out and be that portion of millennialism and that portion of young, uninvolved Christian that the world does. I mean, I'd be flat out offended to think that some church thinks that they have to have a smoke show and has to have a light show, has to throw drums on a pulpit, has to put guitars up on the platform. I'm not talking against guitars. We had some on Tuesday night. It was a lot of fun. But I'm saying using them in a wrong way just to get me to come to church. I mean, I'd be just flat out indignant that they think that I'm not spiritual enough to understand. And I'm not wise enough to understand what God really wants. And I'm not developed enough as a Christian to know what real worship is. And I'm not developed enough as a Christian to not know what God is. I mean, that's about a huge slap in the face coming from the older generation to the younger. Instead of saying we ought to go soul winning, instead of saying we ought to do it God's way, instead of saying we ought to actually be wise and love properly, all of a sudden their next frame of theology is compromise. And all they want to do to get the younger people is simply sacrifice on their terms, sacrifice on their Bible, sacrifice on all the right things, and compromise on all the wrong things just to see if I could come to church and enjoy it. I mean, the old way still works, whether you believe it or not. And those people that go to those other churches and try to experience God in those different ways, they don't have any more God than they did before. So it's obviously not the method. It's obviously not the Christian rock and roll or the Christian rap or the Christian country that's getting them there. There's something miraculous about the Holy Spirit of God. Elihu sees this despite his youth. And says, I'm not going to wait until I'm 50 and used up. I'm not going to wait until I'm 60 and can't hardly think anymore. I'm not going to wait until I'm 70 and there's nothing left to give God. I'm going to serve God now. It doesn't say how old he was. It doesn't say he was a teenager. It doesn't say he was a young adult. It doesn't even say if he was a child or not. But it does say he was young and they were old. Yet was he able to glorify God and give answer to why when the old man couldn't? And we don't only see his desire or his yearning. We don't just see his youth, but we see his yielding. The problem with, like I've said this several times, just since I've been here over the last week, the problem with you not being the best Christian that you can be is you are not yielded to the Holy Spirit, young or old. I know this is kind of geared a little bit towards the younger generations, but it stands the same. That whether you're old or whether you're young, God wants to use you. But he cannot use you if you are not yielded. Elihu, look, it says, but there is a spirit in a man. And the inspiration, or the God breathing, or the God's control over somebody's life of the Almighty, giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise. Neither do the aged understand judgment. Therefore I said, hearken to me. I also will show mine opinion. Behold, I waited for your words. I gave ear to your reasons while she searched out what to say. Yea, I attended unto you. And behold, there was none of you that convinced Job or that answered his words. Lest ye should say, we have found out wisdom. God thrusteth him down, not man. Now, he hath not directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches. They were amazed. They answered no more. They left off speaking, the three friends and Job. While I had waited, for they spake not, but stood still and answered no more, I said, I will answer also my part. I also will show mine opinion. For I am full of matter. The spirit within me constraineth me. The spirit in me is so, I'm so willing to be led. That as I'm sitting here and listening, I don't want to get up and speak to you guys. But I've just found that the spirit in me, the spirit of the Almighty that giveth wisdom and understanding, he's bound me to stand up and speak. I can't control myself. I've about had it up to here. And this Holy Spirit of mine, I want to be led by the Spirit so much that I can no longer quench him sitting in that seat right there listening to you badmouth God. And listen to you destroy another Christian brother. And I'm going to stand up and speak whether you like it or not. And so he gets up here and for six chapters, I mean, he just does what everything Job should have been doing and he gives reason of what his friends should have been doing in six chapters what they couldn't do in 27. And we find the preacher of Job's crisis is more fitted than all of the friends. Why? Because he was filled with the Spirit and he was controlled by the Spirit. It's not hard to figure out. It's hard to do, but it's not hard to figure out. You can be filled with the Spirit if you want to. You can be led of the Spirit if you surrender your control. What I was talking about on Sunday night, you've given God the reins, but they're not connected to anything. All you've simply done is handed them the little loop strap or whatever, and the bridle that should have been on your mouth controlling what you say, and on your direction, your whole control of your whole body to lead you around, go where you should go and not go where you shouldn't, and say and see and hear what you should and not what you shouldn't, but it's not connected to anything. Elihu said, it constrained me. And I was no more up there talking than the Holy Spirit was up there using me to be led by the Holy Ghost. Why? Why do you want to be used of the Holy Ghost? Well, you might be a blessing for somebody else. Job didn't need to be up there for 27 chapters just talking about all of his pain. That wouldn't help him. Job's friends didn't need to be up there for 27 chapters bad-mouthing Job and talking about what a bad person he is. That wouldn't help Job or them. But what helps is a young man of God getting up, being filled with the Spirit, and saying, I'm not going to listen to this anymore. I'm going to preach whether you like it or not. And you may not take my counsel. He says in chapter 33, you may not take my counsel, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. And I understand that, you know, my dad always said, you know, he said, advice not asked for is seldom heeded and often resented. But Elihu's to the point where he says, I can't listen to this anymore. And either you'll listen to me, and you'll hear what I'm talking about, or you won't, and you won't be fixed and changed at all. And I can just walk away after this. But the Holy Spirit's constrained me to do at least this, and that's to just preach at you for a second, because you're not thinking straight. Look at chapter 33, verse number 1. It says, wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches, and hearken to all my words. Behold, now I have opened my mouth. My tongue hath spoken in my mouth. My words shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me. Stand up. Behold, I am according to the wish of God, in God's stead. I also am formed out of the clay. Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. Surely thou hast spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy word, saying, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasions against me. He counteth me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in the stocks. He marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men, and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw from man his purpose, and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from the perishing by the sword. He is chastened also by the pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul's dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. I mean, it goes on for quite a little bit more. But he's finally said, Job, I need to tell you something, and it's not because I'm so smart, and it's not because I'm so able, but because God is. And I'm just going to praise him for a little bit, but why is that a blessing? Who here has gotten a blessing out of Job, the book of Job? I know I have. Most people have. But the reason why is because Elihu was willing to be surrendered to God and stand up and speak and be controlled by God and pen the book of Job. And 42 chapters later, we are still getting blessing, but we're not the only one. Go to chapter 19. Go to chapter 19. Look at verse number 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. Job is praying to God and he's saying, I just wish that some of these words that I'm saying, I just wish that some of this trial that I'm going through and some of the pain, I wish it were written in a book somewhere. And Elihu, due to the fact that he was filled with the Holy Ghost, was able to answer the prayer request of Job. This would not have happened if he was filled with himself and filled with his own desire. He just told them in chapter 32, I wouldn't have even gotten up here if it hadn't been for the Holy Ghost. But Job had a prayer request that needed answered. And that answer of the prayer request needed a man that was subject and controlled by God. Look at 24. They were graven with an iron pen and led in the rock forever. Forever thy word is settled in heaven. Just because he wrote it down on a piece of parchment or grave, you know, took a piece of iron and graved it into a stone didn't mean that it left there. Later on, God would canonize his book, and King James would compile those books and give us your King James Bible in 1611. And since then, I mean, thousands of years ago, we can now reap out blessings of the life of Job because there was a young man that stood up and said, I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about God. I'm going to praise God, and I'm not going to let anybody tell me no. Not in a rebellious act, but in just in a desire to not let his youth be led astray and a desire to yield to the Holy Ghost so that he could be a blessing to somebody else. It said in chapter 33, he said, look, I'm going to preach pretty hard at you, but I'm not preaching to hurt you. I'm preaching to help you. Terry Angel said, he had been a preacher for years. And he said, you know, it never ceases to amaze me that I could preach as hard as I want in the Holy Spirit and nobody gets hurt. I mean, I could preach very, very hard and nobody in my church gets hurt. This is the words of Terry Angel. But as soon as I preach hard in the flesh, I hurt people. But I can preach as long as I want to and as hard as I want to in the Spirit, and nobody gets hurt. They all just benefit from it. Don't think that just because you're young, you can't talk to the old people and you can't correct an older person. The Bible says rebuke not an elder, but I have a feeling that's more in public than it is in private. And if they're wrong, they need to be said. It needs to be said, no, that's not right. And I'm not saying in a rebellious way. I'm saying in a learning way, because nobody's perfect. And just because you're old doesn't mean you have all the wisdom. We've just seen for the last couple of chapters here, and probably for the next four chapters after that, you'll see more of it, about how the old men didn't have the answers. And so he had to talk, because nobody else was coming to God's defense. This is a fantastic truth. This is a rather helpful truth. But if you don't get a hold of it now, young people, you'll come to the age where you can no longer be used to the same extent because you didn't surrender and you didn't yield to God now. And old people, I know this is more geared at young people, but use what time you have left and be yielded. Help teach your grandchildren because you're yielded. Help teach your great-grandchildren because you're yielded. Because they need some godly examples. And just because you're old doesn't mean you have to be the Job and his three friends of the story. You could decide to be more like an Elijah who helped an Elisha so much to the fact that Elisha wanted two of what he had. But it's not going to happen by accident. It takes a yielding. That's the lesson today. You may be dismissed. We'll have church here in a little bit.